Good morning. I'm not the speaker today. Just I have said a while ago that I call a lifeline because I was not able to prepare because I had an speaking appointment yesterday. So today we have a unique speaker. Sorry, a while ago when I introduced Sebastian, he is one of the deacons in Bramley Church. But our speaker today is, I saw him grow up in Mississauga Church. He was born premature, 26 weeks, gestational age, 26 weeks. The doctor told the parents that he couldn't walk later on in his life. But with the grace of God, it was proven wrong. And I admire the parents of how they brought him up, because it's a challenging one. And there takes a lot of patience because of different factors. But when I heard him speak one Sunday in Bramley, I was so amazed. And I really admire how he was brought up and the talent that he shared. He speak in an audience of 600 people. He's passionate in talking about sports and the rights of individuals like him, and he loved playing basketball. I couldn't even shoot the ball in the ring, but he likes basketball. You know, someday he might be an Olympic player. Chris is turning 15 next month, 15 years old next month. So I'll give the podium to Chris. Thank you for accepting this challenge in a short period of time. Since Friday, I talked to Sebastian, and he said yes. So, Chris?
Oops. Sorry about that. Thank you very much, Brother Sam. Greetings to you all, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, what a blessing it is to be awake this morning and to be in the house of the Lord. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his passion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Praise and thank God for this opportunity to stand in front of you all. I'm grateful to the brethren of this congregation for allowing me to share God's word with you all today. And it's a great pleasure to see everyone that I used to know as a kid, like Brother Sam said. Great seeing you all again. Now let me start with a story. There was a teenage boy, he was around my age. He was playing in his house one day while the adults were away. And then he accidentally knocked the family vase in the room. Shattered pieces surrounded him. Now the boy, he looked up in despair. He wondered what he would do, where would he start? He then started grabbing the larger pieces, attempting to pick them up and try to form an outer shape. For him, it was like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, it starts making a shape, but this one had uneven and jagged edges. He sloppily glued the pieces together the best he could. Gradually, piece by piece, the vase was somewhat identifiable. But it was his great-grandmother's vase, so he obviously thought, how could he present it to his mother, who cherished the vase? The pieces didn't fit as they should. As you all know, when you start making a puzzle, you lose one piece, you never finish. The breaks were visible everywhere. The boy waited anxiously, in fear and in shame. And as the mother came home, when he finally heard the key turn in the lock, he carefully lifted the object, and he sighed very loudly, and he brought it to his mother. His head dropped. He held it out to her. The mother looked carefully at her son, reaching for the poorly glued vase. As she carefully inspected it, and then she walked over and put the vase at the stand where it once was. Placing it by her mother's beautiful picture, the boy watched the scene with confusion and fear, still expecting some form of punishment for his careless act. But then his mother saw his apologetic heart. She held him close. She then went on to say, "The vase was more beautiful with its scars." Here's another story I would like to share. A water bearer. He had two large pots. He would hang it around each pole, end of the pole, which he carried across his neck. One of the pole's pots had a crack in it, and while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk, the cracked pot only arrived half full. For 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots of water to his master's house. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end of which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and felt miserable that it was only able to accomplish half of what it had been made to do. After being perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer and said, "I am ashamed of myself, and I would like to apologize to you." The bearer asked, "Why? What are you ashamed of?" The pot replied, "For these past 2 years, I can only deliver half of my load because of the imperfection I have. Because of my flaws, you don't get full effort, full value for your efforts." The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." As they went up the hill, the cracked pot took notice of the sun warming wild, beautiful flowers. This cheered it somewhat, but still, it was very sad at the end of the trial. It apologized for leaking half its load again. Then the bearer said, "Did you notice there were only flowers on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? And that's because I've always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted the seeds on your side of the path, and every day as we walk back from the stream, you've watered them for 2 years. Now I've been able to pick up these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have this beauty to grace his house." At the beginning of the year, you might have many goals or resolutions. Being 2024, most people say, "New year, new me." So my question for you all here today is, how far have you achieved your goals or resolutions that you've set this beginning of the year? Some of your goals may not align, sometimes leading to your loss of focus. You might talk about yourself negatively. You might doubt yourself. There are many other ways. And somewhere along that line, we were shattered and broken on the path that leads us to our goals. This year, many of us might have accomplished few great things, but somehow, many of us have lost jobs. We've also lost loved ones, sadly. Many of us have been depressed, and many of us were broken financially. Many of us lost our family unity. We found new medical issues with ourselves. Our trust was broken. The list can go on and on. Yet, we are like that vase. We're broken and shattered. The vase got stuck together, but God glued us back. Sorry. We have many cracks causing scars in us. My brethren, I would like to let you know all here today that it's because of that brokenness we're all united here. It's that brokenness that leads us to God. The pieces of our lives may shatter around us, but as we get on our knees before God, who helps us glue those broken edges back together, he allows us to continue throughout this life, through our mistakes and through our bad choices, on our own doubt and fears. We're able to persevere through the trials, for we have a God who sent down his only son here to die for us. Now, even though we may not obey him at times, we may not trust him, he would still take his life to save ours. Christ's brokenness allows us to all be in one piece. The boy in the first story I've shared was in awe of what his mother did. She said that the vase was more beautiful with its scars. The boy reached out to it and touched its sides of the vase, for it was rough but still holding its shape. And here we are in a new form, still fragile, but as we are in Christ. When things are going smoothly, it's the world's definition of success. We generally do not seek God. There's a quote saying, "If the devil's not disturbing you, you're doing something wrong." My brethren, we're all broken. We have fallen, we've had problems. but then we become more willing and more open to listen to God. For when we're broken, God lets his grace into us. God uses those moments to reveal cracks in our character that would otherwise be difficult to see. Because we are willing to see those flaws, we're able to ask God to help us. Now this reminds me of Moses. Moses was called the meekest person on earth. Moses was imperfect, a perfect person to serve God. He was a murderer and he stammered. However, God used Moses to magnify his glory in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. A similar example I can share is about David. David was called a man after God's own heart. But as we know, he was a murderer and an adulterer. Yet God showed compassion and delivered him from Saul. He helped bring Goliath down, and God showed his grace through David. David then wrote about his brokenness in the Psalms. In the New Testament, we see about Apostle Peter. After he denied Christ three times, the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly in Luke 22, verse 54 to 62. In his sorrow, he was able to see his root issue. When he realized his flaw, he was convicted and broken in his spirit. Peter's brokenness led to true repentance, and God was able to use him greatly. Peter delivered the first sermon, as we all know. Another person I would like to elaborate on is Paul. Now, Paul's original name meant Saul, which meant asked for. Later, when Saul changed his name to Paul, it meant small or humble. Now, Paul was a Roman citizen by birth. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He's a Hebrew of Hebrew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He studied under Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. And he persecuted the church, but when he was encountered by Christ directly, he was broken in his heart. He went through repentance. Now he expressed it by not eating or drinking, and he went without eyesight for 3 days. Now Paul was broken in his heart before he started the service for the Lord. Paul wrote more than half the books in the New Testament. His major assignments or missions were to speak to the Gentiles and kings. As you see, in all the people above, we learned that these men were broken in their hearts. Their characters changed for the better. Because of that brokenness, my brethren, we see our brokenness builds our character. In Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, we read, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character brings hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Now, have you ever noticed that the tests and trials tend to draw us closer to God? That's when we realize when all our plans fail, we can't overcome it because our power and intellect cannot make our current struggle, pain, and anxiety go away. As we see, it only offers temporary relief. This is why we need to trust and confide in Christ Jesus. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it reads, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Matthew 11, verse 20 to 30 reads, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My brethren, most of the times, we don't want to find ourselves in challenges, pressured situations, in loneliness, and in heartache. But through these situations, we continue to realize our brokenness is the very thing that brings us closer to God. Those circumstances that we very much don't want will change our direction towards God. Our pressures and problems will help us stay on the path that God wants us to go through. Now, many of you may feel that you've been broken, shattered, but you're still here today. Because we're all set apart individuals with their own race to run and battles to finish. We can't give up, though, because the one who has given up his life for us didn't give up. So neither should we. We should always have that passion and fire within ourselves that says, keep going, don't stop, and don't give up. For each and every one of you here today, I feel like you need to realize our brokenness lets others to see that God is working on us. When we feel broken, we tend to hide it from others. But it's that very thing that brings us closer. God is working on us even when we don't see it. God is working on us even before we are born. In John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. Now, for those who work out, when you lose or gain weight, Others around you can see the changes. Now, sometimes they may not choose to come and tell you. But when God blesses us, many around us will witness it. This is not only to show off God's blessings to others, but to know how good God is when we are closer to Him. When you know the truth shall set you free. When you're free or delivered from your sins, your life transforms and is visible to many around you. Also, God doesn't bless you just so you can store up your blessings and keep them all to yourselves. God blesses you so you can bless others by shining your light. In John chapter 15, verse 16, it reads, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the name of my Father, he may give to you." God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, we read in Philippians 2:13. God is working on us for his glory and to walk in his light. John 8, verse 12 reads, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life." Brethren, we need to be grateful that we're here today. We don't hold the next second, hour, or day in our life. One other thing, I'm currently a member of the Ontario Junior Wheelchair Basketball Team, and I'm the youngest one there. Now I'm currently 14, and the rest of the team are way older, stronger, and bigger than me in size. The differences are more visible. All I know is that I showed up there, humble for every practice, and I learned the skills required. I shared compassion of the other players, which were more visible to everyone. Still, I never thought I'd be selected. I remember the day my dad, before the selection camp, my dad offered a prayer before I went. He prayed for the favor of God in the eyes of the selection committee. As the horses are trained for the war, victory comes for the Lord. Those words made me realize and understand that I'm not going to be selected for what I do or who I am, but what I am in front of the Lord. I didn't make it because of my strength or my skill, but only by God's grace. Today, I strongly believe that only the Lord lifted me in that place, not because of who I am, but because what have I done to glorify the Lord's name. Out of nothing, I was made, standing in front of you for the glory of the Lord. Maybe that's why I stand here in front of you all. I was told to be once dead, and here I am. People look at me and they say I'm disabled, but God calls me differently abled. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, we read, "But God chose what the world considers foolish to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak to shame the strong. Now God is perfect, but we are not. God did not choose us because we are perfect, but it's because of the brokenness so that he can work on us and make us useful for God's purpose, for God's glory and to do God's will." My brethren, don't follow your heart because it's mixed with worldly emotion. So only follow God with all your heart and all your soul. It's going to be hard, just as when Satan tried to tempt Jesus, but he didn't give in. It's harder for us even though we're human. We fall into temptation very easily, but we shouldn't give up because God is our hope. Do a self-review of your spiritual performance today. Don't delay it anymore because you don't know when you're going to meet your master. Remember, your brokenness leads you to blessings. Your brokenness is the thing that leads you to blessings. When you learn to bring your shattered pieces to Jesus, he's the only one that can glue you together. Also, keep in mind, Jesus' body was broken at the cross, hanging. And due to Christ's brokenness on the cross, we are now here as a living witness for him. May each and every one of you shine the light of Christ in you through your broken cracks, through your imperfections. I'm very inspired by Apostle Paul's coined words and phrases, for they are inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, it reads, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen." You can do every good thing that you have ever experienced, but God can do above that. You can imagine things beyond your experience, but God can also do above that. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, and it's so abundant, it exceeds all measure and description. According to the power that works in us, God is able to do this in our life now. Now to him be the glory by Jesus Christ, to the great God give him glory, especially in the church, the company of his redeemed, that we receive glory throughout all ages, world without end. I would like to thank you all for your focus and attention this morning. Now, if you feel that your heart is broken this morning and you'd like to seek help, please come forward as we sing the song of invitation and someone will help you here. May God bless us all.